It was the eve of the ultimate revolution. This time, it was going to be different. This time, the person who was coming had the ability to feed entire crowds. They would have no fear of siege. This time, the person who was coming to lead them had the ability to heal. If they were wounded in battle, they would be healed. This time, the person who was coming had the ability to raise them from the dead. This time, the Romans would be thrown out, and the kingdom of Israel would be established in prosperity forever, according to the promise of God. And so they turned out in droves. They laid their cloaks upon the road, and those who had no cloaks to lay or stripped branches from the trees and laid them at his feet, as he came, as prophesied, on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And 1 week later, they were calling for his blood. What went wrong? Three things. Three things that go wrong with many a revolution. First, their political agenda was too narrow. Second, their plan of salvation was not ambitious or all-encompassing enough. And third, they were not willing to sacrifice what was necessary in order to make it happen. Their plan involved killing lots of Romans, kicking them out. Their plan involved establishing Israel as a nation again. They were going to make Israel great again. Their plan involved really no sacrifice. Because, you know, the one who was going to lead them was going to save them all. The only problem with their plan was it was completely at odds with the plan of their leader. Their political agenda was too narrow. Christ did not come to save the nation of Israel or to restore the nation of Israel. Christ came to save the world. Their plan of salvation was not all-encompassing enough. It involved saving all of them, all of the good guys, but the destruction of all of their enemies. Jesus' plan involved making his enemies his friends. They weren't willing to sacrifice what was necessary in order to make it happen. In order to make their plan happen, I guess a lot of them would have to die. But more importantly, they had to give up that too narrow agenda. They had to give up that us and them mentality. And they weren't willing to sacrifice that. And when Jesus made it really, really clear to everybody that that was not his agenda, that their agenda was not his, they, instead of sacrificing their ideas and their ideals, they sacrificed him. today we stand with palm branches in our hands, awaiting the coming of the Messiah. But this is not a reenactment, because we know how the story ends. We know the point. We are committed to a different revolution. And so what we are doing here today is participating not merely in the reenactment of an historical reality, but in the embodiment of an eternal reality. As we sang last night, the grace of the Holy Spirit has assembled us. Taking up your cross, we sing, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. That's the key difference. Taking up a cross, we sing Hosanna in the highest. We know that what is required of us is the sacrifice of ourselves, following the example of Jesus. We know that the political agenda has to be broader, that the plan of salvation is indeed all-encompassing. But do we really? Jesus' first followers missed the point. It's very easy for us to do the same. The point was the salvation of the world. The means to that was the ultimate act of self-sacrificial love. That's the point. And so often, the revolution that our Lord actually started, that we are the actual embodiment and participants of, falters, fails. Not eternally, but temporarily, because we don't quite get it. Our own political agenda is too narrow. Our own plan of salvation really does mostly involve us being saved. And we're not willing to give up, to sacrifice what is necessary in order to make it happen. What was the point? What is the point? It is love. And so I wanted to conclude with a quote from the Lenten Spring, which David posted just the other day. Our brother is our life. In the incarnation, God has become our brother and our slave. And so in him, we encounter everyone and everything. And in everyone and in everything, we encounter him. As St. Siloan the Athenite said, these 40 years, ever since the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, gave me to know the love of God, I have grieved over God's people. O brethren, there is nothing better than the love of God when the Lord fires the soul with love for God and for our fellow man. The man who knows the delight of the love of God, when the soul, warmed by grace, loves both God and her brother, knows in part that the kingdom of heaven is within us. Blessed is the soul that loves her brother, for our brother is our life. 40 years have gone by since the grace of the Holy Spirit taught me to love mankind and every created thing. If we wish to love God, we must observe all that the Lord commanded in the Gospels. Our hearts must brim with compassion and not only feel love for fellow men, but pity for every creature, for everything created by God. The Lord wants us to love our fellow man. And if you reflect how that the Lord loves him, that is a sign of the Lord's love in you. And if you consider how greatly the Lord loves his creature, and you yourself have compassion on all creation, and love your enemies, counting yourself the vilest of men, this is a sign of abundant grace of the Holy Spirit in you. The man who has the Holy Spirit within him, in however slight a degree, sorrows day and night for all mankind. His heart is filled with pity for all of God's creatures, and more especially for those who do not know God or who resist him. For them, more than himself, he prays night and day, that all may repent and know the Lord. I beseech you, put this to the test. When a man affronts you, or brings dishonor on your head, or takes what is yours, or persecutes the church, pray to the Lord and say, O Lord, we are all your creatures. Have pity on your servants. Turn their hearts to repentance. And you will be aware of grace in your soul. To begin with, constrain your heart to love her enemies. And the Lord, seeing your goodwill, will help you in all things. And experience itself will show you the way. But the person who thinks with malice on his enemies has not God's love within him and does not know God. The enemy persecutes our holy church, you may say. Am I then to love him? But my answer is this. Your poor soul has not come to know God, and how greatly he loves us, and how longingly he looks for all people to repent and be saved. The Lord is love, and he sent the Holy Spirit on earth, who teaches the soul to love her enemies and pray for them, that they too may find salvation. That is true love. That is the ultimate political agenda. That is the ultimate plan of salvation, calling upon us to make the ultimate sacrifice. Love for our enemies through God's grace. Love for all those that God brings us into contact with through his grace. Love for the whole world. Following the example of our Lord, we take up our cross. Little children, love one another.